What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're going to be diving in to the recent reporting that Marcus Smart has been bought out by the Washington Wizards. We're also going to touch on the buyout that Blake Wesley reached with Washington, and then give some final analysis on that last summer league game, a nice 9-point win for the undermanned Washington Wizards. Talk about Dylan Jones, Jameer Watkins, and kind of get my parting thoughts on summer league. But I have to lead the show with the news breaking from Shams, where he said Washington Wizards guard Marcus Smart has reached a buyout agreement with the team and intends, upon clearing waivers, to sign a two-year, $11 million deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. A couple notes on this, because obviously this kind of broke. I was getting ready to tweet out the final score of the Wizards-Knicks game, and this kind of broke at that time. So again, I don't know if that was like a planned thing to kind of have that right after summer league. I'm not sure. But that's when Shams broke it. Essentially, this opens up a roster spot for the Wizards. And I might as well just tie in Blake Wesley now. Blake Wesley also, who was acquired from the San Antonio Spurs in that Kelly Olynyk trade, has also reached a buyout agreement with the Washington Wizards, according to Mike Scotto of Hoops Hype. So the Wizards buy out Smart. They also buy out Blake Wesley. Both are announced pretty much at the exact same time, right after summer league ends for Washington. If you want my immediate reaction to it, if you're Washington, you do this because it opens up, number one, a few roster spots. Because now, and I'll touch on the expanded roster in a bit, but it opens up two roster spots. The Wizards were at 17 standard deals at the start of today. They are now down to 15, which is the maximum allowable amount on your opening night roster, 15 standard contracts. There was a lot of buzz around Wizards Twitter and the Wizards fan base on who exactly would be the odd man out, who Washington would trade or buy out or waive to get down to 15. They obviously decided to waive Rashawn Holmes. They brought Vukcevic back on a two-way, so he didn't take up a standard deal. They gave Jameer Watkins a two-way, so he didn't take up a standard deal. And then, obviously, they have the moves today of buying out Marcus Smart and Blake Wesley. So one of the main things that this move accomplishes for Washington is getting down to that 15-man roster. In terms of Smart, 31 years old, the Wizards acquired him in February, in part because they were a team that could absorb that salary. Smart was getting paid around a little over $20 million last year, and this year, in 25-26, he's due $20.5 million of an expiring deal. So essentially, the Wizards were able to take back that contract from Memphis in exchange for Memphis's 2025 first-round pick, which was, again, lottery protected. It works out really well because that becomes the 18th pick, and the Wizards are able to move back. And from that pick in that trade, basically pick up Will Riley at 21, Jameer Watkins at 43, and two future seconds in 2031 and 2032 as, an additional move to that trade. But originally, the 18th pick was for taking back Smart. So that's how they got Smart. Obviously, I'm sure the Wizards would have wanted to get some assets for Marcus. But at the end of the day, it seems like they couldn't at that number, especially, Marcus Smart's 2022 NBA Defensive Player of the Year was an integral part in a lot of those Boston Celtics teams that one went to the finals a lot, went to the conference finals, couldn't get over the hump with him on the roster, but certainly is a guy that if you're a contending team can still make an impact. But at that cap hit of $20.5 million, you were going to be hard-pressed to find a team that could send you back an expiring deal, which would also continue Washington's plan to keep the books open for 2026 and moving and beyond. But it's also hard to trade a guy like Smart at that number. Memphis knew that they didn't want him on their books at that much money. They attached a first-round pick to get him off the books for next season. The Wizards took him back, and it was going to be pretty difficult to not only move Smart, but to also move him in exchange for an expiring deal. So yes, I've gotten a lot of questions about why would the Wizards buy him out and not at least see if they could get something. I doubt they reached this buyout agreement without knowing for sure, his market isn't good. We tried it. We're not really going to get much. Let's buy him out and open the roster spot so we can maybe keep a guy like Malachi Branham or Dylan Jones or somebody on the back end of the roster that could be a piece here, especially when they know that Smart won't be for the future. So again, that's another part of Smart. I thought he could have been a good mentor, especially at the guard position for Bub, for AJ Johnson. For Trey Johnson defensively, I tweeted out the video. It had like almost 2 million views last year of Marcus Smart coaching up Jordan Poole in the Wizards locker room. Shout out my guy Jacob Stark for sending me that video. And it's just kind of – it's funny now because both of those guys are no longer on the team. And if you asked me or told me that then, I would have said, yeah, like sure, maybe they moved Marcus Smart at some point. But trading – obviously not trading, but trading Poole and moving on from Smart – it's kind of funny looking back on that video and seeing that they're both no longer with Washington. So I thought he could have been a good mentor, but they still have a lot of veterans. They have McCollum, they have Middleton, they have a young roster, and it seems like they decided on, okay, he could be a good mentor, but we have some other guys that we kind of like at the end of our roster, some younger guys that we want to give a roster spot to. And if we can give if Smart, obviously, the amount that Marcus has given back in the buyout has not been made public. I did read somewhere that depending on how much he's getting from the Lakers, maybe that's how much he gave back. So it's a two-year, $11 million deal. If that's the same each year, maybe it's like a $5.5 million deal. It's entirely possible that Smart just said, hey, I'll give you back $5.5 million to buy me out, and I'm just going to sign for that with the Lakers. Like maybe that is the case. I'm not the smartest when it comes to the cap, so I'm sure that'll be released officially at some point. I did read that somewhere, and that would make sense. I feel like that's how buyouts typically go. I'm sorry for the Wizards. Like you save a little bit of money. It's not the biggest amount, but you do if you want to take back some more contracts at the deadline from what he gave back in the buyout, and you also create another roster spot for moving on for Marcus Smart. And now to attack the Blake Wesley aspect, obviously, like I mentioned, acquired in that Kelly Olynyk trade. Not the most integral part of that. They obviously also got Malachi Branham, and they got a second round pick as well. So they didn't make the move to get Blake Wesley. And I figured that either one of Wesley and Branham, maybe even both, were possible waive candidates. It appears that they were gonna maybe waive Wesley because that's what Mike Scott of Hoopsype tweeted originally, and then he updated it saying the Wizards had bought Wesley out. They agreed to a buyout so that Wesley can find his new team. And another comment that I got frequently was, Greg, why are the Wizards doing this now? Why wouldn't they at least give Wesley training camp and then buy him out? I think maybe they saw the writing on the wall, and maybe Wesley and his agent did too. And they were like, hey, let's just find a buyout now. So instead of me wasting this time trying to find my way in training camp on a team that I'm probably going to get cut from, let me give a little bit of money back in a buyout and then maybe sign for that amount with a new team that I think I have a way better shot at finding a role on or finding an active roster spot on or something like that. So, I would assume that was a big reason why the sides agreed to a buyout, especially this early, so that Wesley has, pretty much the rest of the summer to find a new team. But at the end of the day, like that also creates another roster spot. I like Wesley coming out of college at Notre Dame. I thought he could be a decent piece at the very end of this roster if he made the team. But again, picking one of him or Branham seemed like the possible solution. And it appears that, I don't know if the Wizards did, maybe Wesley was like, hey, I'd like a buyout. I'm not sure the details, but he gets bought out. And obviously Malachi Branham is now the one guy, the lone guy from that deal still on the team. He's a standard deal expiring after this year. But also is an intriguing piece, first top 20 pick just a couple of years ago out of Ohio State, could have very easily been a lottery pick. I had a decent rookie year with San Antonio, but has kind of fallen a little bit out of the rotation, lost some minutes as the Spurs have gotten better and deeper. But I think he can be a decent piece on this team. So he's still on the roster, and you have Dylan Jones, who's a possible cut candidate as well. Had a good summer league finale. I'll talk about that later on in the show. But it seems like he might make the roster as well with the Wizards now at 15 standard deals. A lot can change, but certainly waiving or buying out Wesley, buying out Smart opens up a lot more roster space for the Wizards, and I'm sure that was a big reason for it. Another thing I touched on in my article for Bolts Forever, if you want a more in-depth look at the news or you just want to read about it, my articles are on Bolts Forever as always. I noted that now it opens up some space at the guard position. The guard position was a logjam for Washington for a while throughout the offseason. And it appears like today they've kind of created a little bit of clarity about what they are going to enter the season with at that position. As of now, obviously you have Bub Carrington as your probable starting point guard. I'd be pretty surprised if he doesn't start the year at point guard with CJ McCollum right there with him at the two guard in the backcourt. And then behind them, you got Trey Johnson, you got AJ Johnson, you got Malachi Branham. It appears now with Smart gone, I would have, if he stayed, slotted him in at least to the till the deadline as that backup point guard. With him gone, it opens up some minutes there. You got AJ Johnson, who played a lot of point guard behind Bob Carrington and starting at point guard when Carrington was shut down for summer league. He looked good at times as a scoring point guard. I didn't necessarily see too much I enjoyed as a facilitator, as a true playmaking point guard, but I think he can get there. He certainly has the speed and the skill and the potential to get there. So maybe he gets to see some backup guard minutes. You know, before today, I would have said that's probably not the case at point guard. And Branham as well. You know, I think I view him more so as a combo guard, maybe a two, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they experiment some with him at the lead guard. So it certainly opens up some more minutes there. That's one of the storylines I thought was less talked about than others is the minutes now that it opens up a backup point guard. So maybe that's Johnson's role or AJ Johnson's role. Because I obviously think if you're going to have another guard coming off the bench, you're going to start with Trey Johnson. I don't think he starts right away in front of McCollum, but maybe as that sixth, seventh man coming off the bench is one of your guard options. And then I also think you can use AJ, you can use Malachi as some guys to give Bub a spell at that lead guard position. So certainly, you know, for my AJ Johnson stance, and I know there's a lot out there that were a little concerned before today that there might not be any minutes for him. Obviously, these moves waiving or buying out two guards opens the door for AJ to possibly assume those backup point guard duties. Now onto the updated roster. Like I said, at the beginning of the day, the Wizards had 17 standard deals. Through a couple buyouts, they are now down to 15 standard NBA contracts, along with 3 two-way contracts, which is the maximum for both of those types of deals on the roster. So if they entered the season and opening night was tonight, they their roster would be allowable, would be okay by league standards. The guards, like I mentioned, Bub Carrington, TJ McCollum, your likely starting backcourt, followed by Trey Johnson, AJ Johnson, and Malachi Branham. Your wings, Chris Middleton, Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Justin Champagne, Corey Kispert, Will Riley, Cam Whitmore, and Dylan Jones. And then your forward slash centers, Alex Sarr, Marvin Bagley III. Two-way guys, Vucevic, Jameer Watkins, and Jalen Martin. So that's the rosters, 18 total, 3 two-ways, 15 standard. Certainly will be intriguing to see what Washington does with that depth in the backcourt, and also intriguing to see what they do in the front court. Obviously, I think Sarr starting at center is pretty much a lock now, considering really all they did there was put Vuk on a two-way and sign Bagley as that backup. And then you look at, okay, the 3 and the 4. I think that's what intrigues me the most. Like, I would be surprised if they didn't start Middleton at one of those positions, whether it's a 3 or the 4. Like, yes, he's way older at 33 than some of your other guys, and he's not probably going to be here past this season. But at the same time, I think he's the best of the bunch, and I think he gives them the best chance to compete, which is what they're trying to do. Maybe not necessarily win games and make the playoffs, but they're always going to put, at least at the beginning of the season, the best roster on the floor. And so I think, you know, Middleton is clearly the best, or if not one of the two best forwards they have on the team at the moment. So him starting would make sense. And then it gets interesting between Bilal Coulibaly and Keyshawn George. You know, Keyshawn didn't shoot the ball as well as I'm sure he would have liked in summer league, but everything else that he did was great. So maybe it's between those two as to who possibly starts. You obviously have Cam Whitmore in the fold now. I would be surprised if he started over one of them, but that's a possibility. Champagne started a bunch last year. You still have Corey Kispert, who I think will be your sixth man entering the year, but is another viable option at wing if he's not traded by that point. But that's kind of the update on Washington's roster. They could enter the season now and be completely fine. This, what I just said, could very well be Washington's opening night roster. And maybe there's some other moves to be made, like if they decide to take away Jalen Martin's two-way status and instead sign someone else. They've done that in the past. I doubt Watkins and Vucevic's two-way status changes. You know, I just think those are two guys they're pretty comfortable with on those two ways. Recently signed to those two ways as well, versus Martin, who signed, you know, during the season. So that's kind of where the roster stands after those moves. Again, if you missed it, Marcus Smart bought out, Blake Wesley bought out. The Wizards are now down to 15 standard deals. So that's kind of the first part of this episode. I did want to get some summer league talk in because the Wizards did close summer league with a 94-85 victory over the New York Knicks. They finished summer league 2-3. A lot of people expected them to go 5-0, you know, run the table and all that type of stuff. But again, even myself, I forgot how, I don't want to say like scared, but cautious maybe is the right word, teams are now in Summer League. And this year definitely was one of the more cautious years for teams at Summer League. I mean, you had top picks, not even just the top five or six picks, but like first rounders being shut down after two or three games. And again, like it shouldn't be that surprising. You know, I had heard before Summer League that the plan was for Sar, George, and Carrington to play two games and then most likely sit the final three. I didn't know if they would do that for Riley and Johnson. Obviously, they were held out for a different reason, as the Wizards listed Johnson out with a hamstring injury, Riley out with a thumb injury. I'm not sure how serious those injuries were. Like, I didn't see either of them leave the game early with those. They closed out that win against Brooklyn. They seemed fine. So maybe it's just them being cautious with their first-round picks. That's completely understandable. Wizards fans also have a right to be annoyed and frustrated. Like, yeah, here's your starting lineup. None of your first-round picks are there in that last game, except for Dylan Jones. You know, even A.J. Johnson is sitting out today's game against New York. Funny enough, like the Wizards had only entering, I guess, with their roster, they had six players available. I'm not sure. Kadarius Richmond was held out. I don't know if that was due to injury. Same with Zeke Mayo. I didn't see anything injury-related on him. But they were both also held out, as was obviously Sar, Carrington, and George, plus Johnson and Riley. And then you also had A.J. Johnson held out, which I don't think is injury-related. I think they just shut him down because they liked the back-to-back 20-point points that he scored in the two games leading up to the game against New York. So they had six guys, and they actually signed Ryan Smith. I think it's Rain Smith. I think it's Ryan Smith. He's a guard. He played at Louisville. He's out of Australia. The night before, so I'm recording this on Saturday. On Friday, he dropped 17 points for the Denver Nuggets' Summer League team. And then I guess they were saying on the broadcast he was working out, and the Wizards basically just texted him and were like, hey, like, you want to suit up for us? We kind of need a seventh guy. And he did. And I mean, he didn't play particularly well, but, you know, shout out to him for on short notice. It was funny because he was number 50, I think, and everyone else had a name on their jersey. His was just number 50, no name. So it was pretty funny to see just how short notice the whole thing was. But it also goes to show how many guys the Wizards were sitting for the game against New York. And impressively enough, they won the game. A lot of guys played heavy minutes, rightfully so. The best of the bunch was Dylan Jones, who, you know, 9 minutes the first game, only took two shots. Then he had a DMP in the second game. Went 2 of 2 in the third game, but only again took two shots. Had a not the best shooting night in the fourth game, but looked a little bit better, was more aggressive. And then in that fifth game today against New York, he was kind of like, who else is here to score? A.J. Johnson's not here. None of the other guys are here. It's kind of my time to shine. And he wasn't a ball hog, I didn't think. I didn't think he forced it too much. I mean, 8 of 13 from the field's pretty good splits. I believe he finished 2 of 3 from 3. Hadn't been shooting the three ball too well, so like to see that. Finished with a game high 25 points and 11 rebounds on 8 of 13 from the field. Like, again, a pretty not phenomenal showing. He was great attacking the rim. He's a big guard, like a pretty sturdy, stocky build at the guard position. And he was just able to use that frame to shield off defenders, to finish through contact. I really like the aggression that I saw from him putting the ball on the deck, which is, I think, where he's best drawing fouls. And so I did like a lot of what I saw from Dylan Jones. He was kind of a bubble guy. I didn't know even after today if he would, you know, make the team, but after they buy out Smart and Wesley, two guys that play the guard position, I think Jones is more so of a wing, but I do think maybe that does help him in terms of making the 15-man roster. Certainly the performance today couldn't hurt, you know, obviously 25 on good shooting splits. Another guy that I liked was Jameer Watkins, and I've liked what I saw from him ever since I watched a couple games at FSU midseason. When I was watching tape for him leading up to the draft, and, you know, even throughout Summer League, you know, this is a guy, and I should mention, like, he did have 8 steals that one game against Philly, which tied a Summer League record. It appears they deducted one of his steals, so he only has 7. I know, unfortunate, but still 10 stocks, 7 steals, 3 blocks in a game is so impressive. 10 or 11, it doesn't matter, it's double digits. That's still incredible. I mean, he had another good game against the Knicks. He had 23 points, 8 rebounds, 5 steals. That gave him 19 steals through 5 Summer League games, which for my math people, I'll give you a second to do the math. It's 3.8 steals per game. Again, I did not do that mentally. I used a calculator because that's hard math. But 3.8 steals per game for your guy that you drafted at number 43 to be a defensive specialist. He had a couple blocks thrown in there too, probably averaged around one or two per game. So, like, this is a guy that, you drafted to be a lockdown elite defender at some point in his career, and he's already showing signs of, I'm going to buy in. I'm going to be really great here. My offense is good. It can get better and definitely more efficient. But at the same time, I'm here right now as a defender, and I can carve out a role as that type of guy. So, again, that's why I was really, really pleased with what I saw from Watkins because, yes, the shooting could have been better. He shot 8 of 18, 4 of 11 from 3 against the Knicks. But again, show that he's a capable scorer and show that he's a willing three-point shooter. You know, 40, what was he, like a little under 40% against the Knicks, probably around 30% for Summer League. But he took a high volume of threes, wasn't afraid to shoot it. It's a guy that averaged 18 points per game his last season in college. So again, I think the scoring will come around. I mean, again, I've compared him to Lu Dort for a while. Lu Dort was one of the worst shooters in the league. I mean, that first season in OKC, in the playoffs against Houston, open from three. And in like I said, this year in OKC's run, he was so big in that game five against Denver in the fourth quarter, making all those threes. In the game seven of the finals, making some threes. So again, the defense is all I really care about for Jameer Watkins. The offense and the shooting is a bonus at this stage. And for him to kind of be this far along, even on that end in Summer League, certainly an intriguing takeaway that I had. I guess some thoughts on some other guys like Keyshawn Gilbert was pretty good. And in a lot of my takeaways, I just, you know, kind of called Gilbert fun. Like I enjoyed watching him play. I enjoyed watching him facilitate and play guard. He's a smaller guard, but again, it's a guy that averaged a couple steals per game in college. Clearly, you know, takes pride on the defensive end. I think he started out 1 of 6 against the Knicks, finished 7 of 13 from the field. 15 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, was a plus 8 on the game with a steal. That's a pretty solid showing. Like, I think maybe he's on Exhibit 10, so I think he gets a bonus if he signs a two-way deal with – or if he signs, sorry, just signs with the Go-Go versus with another team. Maybe it's around, like, 75K. I'm not sure. My guy Matt Moderno talked about in a previous episode. But I think this is a great Go-Go candidate. Like, maybe he can carve out some sort of role as a two-way guy, as an end-of-the-roster guy in the NBA. He's a little undersized, but he's fun. Like, he's just always around the ball, always rebounding. You know, 8 boards for a player of his size isn't easy. Good court vision, like the speed he plays with, the intensity he plays with on ball defensively. So that's a guy that I did come away from Summer League really intrigued about. Jonathan Pierre, 18 points on 4 of 8 from 3, 4 assists, 5 boards. He was a plus 15. I thought he had a pretty solid game. Was up and down in Summer League in terms of that jumper and the efficiency. He was only 6 of 15 from the field. But again, I thought he was okay. Maybe another Go-Go candidate. Certainly, I don't view as a two-way guy. But didn't think he really he played too bad throughout Summer League. I mentioned Jones and Watkins and Gilbert. Akolda Gack started, played 26 minutes, was 4 of 8 from the field, plus 16. He was also, I think, a plus 19 the game before. So he didn't really do much to, like, say, oh my god, like, he popped. But he seemingly, the last couple of games in big minutes, always had a good plus-minus, was always contributing to winning basketball. And so that's a nice positive takeaway. I think he has potential. There were certainly some defensive plays where I was kind of, you know, left wondering why did he jump on that pump fake or certainly why was he in this position. But I get the intrigue, I guess, with a prospect like him. Again, at 7 boards, 4 assists as well. So, not the craziest Summer League for Gack, but certainly didn't think he represented himself poorly. I thought he was all right. And then you get to Rain Smith. Sorry if I'm butchering it. He was 1 of 5 from 3, plus 6, 5 points. Again, he was literally playing for another Summer League team last night. So anything just showing up, I respect from him. You know, I don't know if he gets an Exhibit 10 deal with the Wizards or a training camp deal. I don't know what he does, But you know, I respect him, and hopefully he finds a role somewhere in the league, whether it's in the G League or in the NBA. The final guy on this is Liam Robbins. I don't like it. I don't want to be too overly critical. I don't like being too cruel or mean in my evaluations. I mean, 14 minutes off the bench, 0 of 4 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, 4 boards, was a minus 8. I don't see it. I think he's a possible stretch five, but I don't think he's the most consistent shooter. He didn't shoot that well from three in summer league. Defense isn't great. He's not the most agile mover. He's not the quickest laterally. Tends to pick up some fouls down low. Isn't the greatest defensive rebounder. So again, if you're 7 foot and you're not great at any of those things and your shot isn't necessarily making defenses pay, it's just, you know, I don't really know what's there. So, you know, I would assume a go-go candidate. I think he'd be a good center option for them in the G League and maybe develop him there, get that shot more consistent, get him to be a little bit more agile on the defensive end. But that's kind of my parting thoughts on summer league. The Wizards finished 2-3. Didn't get to see much of the top guys, but in those two games, certainly intriguing. I mean, Trey Johnson in two games, 19.5 points per game on 58% from the field, 44% from three. That's pretty impressive. A good second showing for Will Riley, 16 points on six shots, made three of his 4 3-point attempts. Obviously, Sar, Bub, George all had their moments. Sar with the 8-block game, that was pretty impressive. George, 24 in the first game. Bub, a much more efficient game with 17 in the second game. So I thought there were some really good high moments for a lot of the top guys. Certainly some lower moments too for them, and that'll happen. They're all still 19, 20 years old. But overall, a solid summer league. Now that is behind the Wizards and finished 2-3. They're not competing for that summer league crown. Their summer league's done. And now I guess it kind of transitions into the rest of the offseason. You know, you're going to have Sar, who's on the preliminary roster for Eurobasket for Team France. I believe Bilal Koulibaly is also on that team. I think training camp starts July 24th, and then competitions start in, I think, maybe late August into September, I believe, is when Eurobasket is. But that's something to maybe look at for the next time you'll see some Wizards, you know, actually compete in real, meaningful basketball and not just exhibition or practice. Other than that, like, the schedule gets released sometime in mid-August, I believe. So that's something to look out for. It's not as big of a schedule release as like the NFL, because you're gonna play this team this amount of times. You're gonna play the West Coast teams one away, one home. I guess it's just intriguing to see, like, you know, maybe when Jordan Poole returns to DC, you know, maybe when Kyle Kuzma is back, Denny Avdia, for my Denny Avdia fans, when he's back, I'm sure people will have that Lakers game, the Knicks game circled. Who the Wizards open with? I'm sure the Wizards are going to open with like the hardest opponent. Like, last year, who was it? The defending champion Boston Celtics, and they just got worked at home. That wasn't really fair. And maybe this year, I know they won't put them against OKC. Like, OKC will have their ring night against a meaningful opponent. But who knows? Like, maybe Washington opens up on the road against, you know, a team like Philadelphia. I don't know. But that schedule release is something to look out for as well. I think the roster is probably set for now. The moves, I don't know, or if they're done, maybe you see some other trades of veterans. But certainly that's kind of going to close out this chapter of the summer with the draft, with free agency, with summer league. It was all kind of like bang, bang, bang on top of each other. I think now you can, after summer league, ease into the more dead period of the offseason. I view it as like there's multiple dead periods, you know, from the time the season ends in April to whenever the draft lottery is. For the Wizards, at least, nothing really happens. Just the playoffs and the league moves on without them. And then it's the draft season from the end of the draft lottery to late June. And then you get into free agency, then summer league. And now you're at another part where, you know, the next best thing you're looking forward to is a schedule release. That's kind of the level that you're at there. So again, that's kind of what Wizards fans can look to. You know, training camp starts in September. Media day, first Monday of October, and then you get to opening night in mid to late October. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. In case you missed it, to recap, the Wizards buy out Marcus Smart. They buy out Blake Wesley. They open up two roster spots, allow Smart to join a contender. Wesley can find a new team. They clear some roster space, a little bit of cap space, whatever Smart and Wesley give back in those buyouts, and are able to get down to those 15 standard deals, are still at those three two-way spots, and are kind of starting to mold together that roster that you'll probably see as their opening night roster, barring any other trades and waves and moves like that. But that's going to do it for this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed. Again, the support has been great. Closing in on 500 subscribers. So if you haven't subscribed yet on YouTube, it's the Wizards Podcast there as well. Feel free to hit the subscribe button. But again, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Go Wiz.